Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. It's been a minute. There has literally been nothing on television. Jordan and I were like racking our brains, looking at all of the different apps, and the best thing we could come up with was the J-Lo movie. And you know what? We couldn't do it. We just couldn't do it. So we didn't.
Yeah. Although, you know, I have heard that the documentary version is interesting. I might watch that for fun. Or yeah. If there's nothing else this week, maybe we will be watching this for the next episode. But probably not.
Yeah, maybe I just jinxed it. But so we decided to give ourselves a little bit of a break. And now we're back. And we're going to talk about the Oscars that just happened this Sunday. But that means we have lots of news to cover. I'm going to start us off with our per usual Only Murders in the Building corner.
And this is like maybe the biggest corner yet. This was wild. The floodgates have
crazy.
Opened.
What are all of these actors going to do? I'm so confused.
It's like, are they just going to have cameos playing themselves like walking down the streets of Hollywood or something?
I mean, yeah, maybe because it's based in LA now.
Yeah.
Eugene Levy added to the cast. Who else? Oh, Kumail Nanjiani added to the cast. Who else? Am I missing anyone?
Well, they announced new ones today, even. They keep coming
in. See, I haven't been online today.
Oh, yeah. Well, Zach Galifianakis. so random. Lana Condor from To All the Boys I Loved Before. And Keegan-Michael Key.
Wow. Insane.
So stay tuned. There might be more. Who knows where they're going to stop. They announced today, and this was a rumor, but now it is confirmed. RuPaul is stepping down as the host of the Australian Drag Race Down Under. And people knew that. They were suspicious, especially because the Australian ones, that's the jankiest version of Drag Race, and everyone knows it. It feels very low budget. They've like had controversial contestants. Rue doesn't seem that engaged in it all. And it's also interesting because most of the foreign Drag Race seasons are hosted by a queen of that country. And most of whom are like former contestants on the American Drag Race. Rue still hosts the UK Drag Race. And Rue has hosted Australia until now. But they announced that Michelle Visage is going to be the host of Drag Race Down Under. And
interesting.
It's a very interesting choice. Not that Michelle won't do a good job. Michelle is like a very like, you just trust her on TV. Like she's a very capable host and she's funny and knows the whole tradition of Drag Race. She's, you know, like she'll be good. But one of the like iconic queens from season 6, Courtney Act, who we have actually seen her show, and she's like amazing on Drag Race, is Australian and is like an Australian legend. Rue will like never ask her to be the host of that. Like apparently she like hates Courtney Act. So like it's all just like very, it's like very dramatic and very interesting. And it'll be the first non-drag queen host.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's just, it's very interesting. And I can't wait for all of the former Rue contestants podcasts that I listen to that will have a lot to say about this and be way more educated on it than me this week. I'm very excited to hear their thoughts. It's very interesting.
I'm excited for you to hear their thoughts and then repeat those thoughts to me.
Yes, I can't wait to tell you. Especially because one of them, they're like BFFs with Courtney Act. And so I cannot wait for them to, you know, drop some bombs.
An exciting news on the Hacks front is that they added Helen Hunt, Christina Hendricks, which I'm very excited about, Christopher Lloyd, and a few other people. Oh, Tony Goldwyn. That was the one I wanted to talk about. because I love him from Scandal.
You are a Scandal head for sure. So congratulations.
So I'm very excited to see them. And they also debuted the trailer and it looked so good. And I'm so excited. It premieres on May 2nd.
That was one of the trailers that I did watch, which, as we all know, it's rare. And it was so worth it. That trailer was hilarious. Very excited. I have two pieces of true crime television news. One of them is that Margaret Qualley was cast as Amanda Knox in a Hulu limited series. And I know I read that Amanda Knox herself is like attached to the production side of this. And I don't know. I do like Margaret Qualley, but I'm just not that interested. I feel like we've seen a lot of content about Amanda Knox. And I'm not that interested, especially in kind of a biased portrayal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just very interesting. Interesting, but I'm not that interested personally.
Interesting enough for us to discuss, but not interesting enough for us to watch. Maybe we'll see what happens when it actually comes out.
I mean, chances are there will be nothing else and we will be watching, but
yeah,
I raised an eyebrow at that. And then this one is even stranger to me for multiple reasons, but they announced that there's going to be a limited series on JonBenet Ramsey. Development at MTV Entertainment Studios. And I, that whole sentence, I'm kind of confused by that. Because I feel like I just don't know if we need to explore JonBenet Ramsey's murder any further. You know, it's like, I feel like literally everyone's always talking about it and it's just so dark and like, we'll probably never know the whole story. So just like, why? Mm-hmm. And why is MTV producing it? That is odd.
Yeah, that all of those things are very strange. And I have a lot of thoughts running in my mind, but nothing to really say.
Yeah.
I think we already knew a little bit about this Netflix show, movie. I'm actually not even sure. Oh, it's a series. Matthew McFadden and Michael Shannon are going to be in, but they added cast members Betty Gilpin and Nick Offerman.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I heard that.
What an iconic cast.
Love it. That's amazing.
We love Betty Gilpin getting employed. We literally live for it.
We seriously do. And I want to see all of those people interacting with Tom Wamsgans.
Yeah. Same.
Wow, that is amazing. I can't remember if we've ever talked about the Harry Styles fanfic movie that's coming out on Prime, The Idea of You. with Anne Hathaway and you know, that guy from Nicholas Galitzine from Red, White, and Royal Blue / Bottoms. As a directioner and specifically a Harry Styles directioner. Thoughts?
Well, one of the things I have bookmarked about this is a tweet that says, he's truly too gay to sell a romance with Anne Hathaway. It just looks like they're queening out, which I thought was really funny. The trailer is bizarre. I don't know. It's so weird. And I've seen lots and lots of tweets about how, like, Anne Hathaway's playing the Olivia Wilde's character, which I think is interesting. Hmm.
Well, she's not famous, though. Isn't she supposed to just be, like, a suburban mom? She's older. But Harry's dated older women, like, a lot.
Yes, like, Olivia's not the only one. That was actually, like, that.
Yes.
There's many before him, before her. And, like, Harry wasn't even in One Direction when they met, so.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Will I be watching? Yes. Am I confused and worried and I was avoiding watching the trailer, but I was like, I have to watch it. And I did. And I'm confused how Anne Hathaway got involved in this and said, yes, that is where I'm really struggling.
Yeah. Like, you have an Oscar. You don't really need to do that. No. One thought I had was, especially if it's supposed to be like One Direction days, he looks too old. It doesn't really look that shocking to me, this couple, because she looks, I think, younger maybe than she is, and he looks older than he's playing. And I looked up his age, and he's 29 in real life. So I'm like, this is like not even that big of a deal.
Weird.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely gonna watch it also.
For sure.
I am kind of a sucker for stories about like famous person dates or just some regular loser.
Same, because we all had some delusion that could be us.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially now that I'm going to be closer to her age in the movie than like, you know, like a teen pop star dates random high school girl. You know, something like that. So
it's more relatable.
There you go.
Netflix announced some of the casting for the new Noah Baumbach film. George Clooney, Adam Sandler, Laura Dern, Billy Crudup, and Riley Keough. Good cast.
Very good. I was thinking, it's like, usually when there's a list that long of names, there's like one you've never heard of, you know?
Yeah.
But I've heard of all those. Those are all famous people.
Every single one.
We knew already that House of the Dragon season 2 was coming. I don't know if they had said literally the day that it is going to be streaming. And this article is making me scroll.
I don't think it has. It's not a day yet. I think it's June was announced.
Well, that is stupid, because this headline says HBO confirms when House of the Dragon season 2 will fly onto screens.
It'll be hovering.
That was some egregious clickbait. Oh well. As I have proven multiple times today, my media literacy is low. I have been fooled yet again by a parody account. It's not been a great day for me to feel smart. So, thank you for saving me from scrolling even further.
You're welcome.
June.
Happy to help. We already knew about this series that Benny Drama made, but it was officially picked up at Prime Video. And I'm so excited. They're like, Benny Drama's partner, Terrence, posted this video of him like getting the call that Amazon was picking it up, and it's the most precious video I've ever seen. I was like bawling when I watched it. I feel like they are my friends.
Well, I mean, you did meet him.
I did meet him, and he was the best. So
yeah, so there you go. You're just emotional and happy for your friend.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. Have they said like when that's premiering, or I can't remember where they are in that process? Like,
no,
have they,
I don't
filmed
think
it yet?
So late 2020. Oh, wait, never mind. It doesn't say anything. I think they just ordered it. So I think only the pilot has been written.
Wow. Well, that's beautiful and just nice. It is really interesting when we're clearly in the drought as a result of the strike, like right now, when we're like, there's literally nothing really new happening, and to have so many great things to look forward to is great. Did you see that they recast for Bobby's spot as the interior designer on Queer Eye?
Yes, I did.
I'd never heard of him, but he's like kind of like Yassified Bobby. And so I was laughing because I was like, he kind of looks like if you mix like Anthony and Bobby, like, and then like other people like together.
Other people. Like,
He just looks like an AI generated like kind of model kind of person. And so it's just really funny because I feel like Bobby isn't ugly or anything. He just kind of looks like a guy. He just looks like a regular person. And this guy looks like I said, an AI generated like show me like a guy who's a model. Like, he doesn't even look real to me. So it's just, I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, did you see Tan France like post about it?
No, I didn't.
There's been lots of drama in the Queer Eye series community. There was a Rolling Stone article that like came at JVN pretty hard.
I did see that.
And in that same article, I guess there was some talk about Tan kind of campaigning to get Bobby fired. I don't think the article made the assumption that Tan campaigned to get Bobby fired so that they would hire this other person, because I guess this person is Tan's friend. So oh. Tan put out like a post on Instagram, like a video post on Grid that was like,
oh no,
there's lots of discourse happening and I don't want to talk about it, but I will say that my friend getting hired had nothing to do with someone else getting fired. Like, I was happy that they hired my friend, but I had nothing to do with it.
Wow.
And I was like, this is so drama.
I'm just like baffled by the why post? You don't really need to do that.
No, you know, you didn't.
Silence is always best. It really is, I think.
Yes.
And Colleen Ballinger proved that. I feel like in a post Colleen Ballinger world, let other people be dumb around you and respond, and just like don't respond.
Yeah. Like, your actions are your response.
Yeah. That is... Wow. They are truly so... They are messy. And you know what? Okay, galaxy brain moment. They're on season 9. Like, I don't even know anyone who still watches this show.
Mm-mm.
They should... If this drama is real, they should be grateful it's happening, because it's really... Their show is the topic of conversation right now. There's drama. And
it's true. People are like, oh, that show was still on?
Yeah. So like they're lucky that there is such drama around their show, actually, because people are actually talking about it.
Really good point. My last piece of news is that Jared Carmichael is doing his own reality show with HBO, and it's premiering on March 29th. And I've been trying to bring awareness to Jared Carmichael because he's been hanging out with Taylor Swift. And I feel like not that many people know him. He was in Poor Things. He has his own special. His special is amazing. And I just want more people to know about him. So I'm excited for this reality show. It looks really interesting.
So is it just like following him around?
Yeah, like, okay. I didn't get to watch the full trailer, but the beginning of it was saying that he's like Truman showing himself. And it also shows him like meeting a bunch of men. So I think it's like kind of about him dating, and it looks like there's some family members on it. And like a big part of his special was kind of about his tricky relationships with his family. So I'm assuming that will kind of be explored a little bit more in this reality show. And so I'm excited just because he's like a very funny comedian and also like very artsy. So like a reality show by him, I don't feel like I've ever seen anything like that.
I know. I was actually just trying to think of the last time a reality show that style that I would compare to like Kardashians or Housewives kind of thing. Like, it's not a game show reality show at all. It's like following someone around. It's usually not over following a man, you know. It's usually female centric, and it's never a comedian. Like, there's really nothing that I could compare this idea to.
No, I don't think so.
Cool. Can we use what channel is that on again, or streaming service? Channel.
It's an HBO original series.
HBO is kind of a channel, so that fits.
HBO
that
is still
weird.
A channel. That's why it's not Max. It's HBO.
What channel is that on? That was strange.
Channel 56. Just kidding. That's the. I have that channel memorized because that was E Network.
Here's what I remember from our days of channels. 29 was Disney Channel. 23 was MTV.
Wow. 55
was
MTV.
55?
See, that's so interesting. I think 33 was Disney Channel. ABC Family was 28.
here. Oh my gosh, 28 was Nickelodeon.
I can 27 remember this. Was Nickelodeon. Wow. This is scary that we can remember this.
I was just gonna say, I was like, I can remember those way better than I can remember like childhood phone numbers. There's some that I remember for that, but like people talk about that a lot. People don't talk about what channel was everything, and I knew all of them.
I memorized my social security number like a year ago, but I have had all these numbers in my head since I was a child.
What did you do before a year ago when you needed your social?
Pull it out? Good question.
The card?
I know that like the first 3 or 4 digits are the same as a handful of my friends. So I'll ask them, what does our social security number start with? And then I can usually fill in the rest.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, every time I need it, I panic because I'm like, what? Like, what order do the numbers like, go in again?
Wait, I'll put the wrong number and it's like someone else's identity.
Yeah, exactly. But my last 4, they have kind of a nice ring to it. So usually I can get there. But sometimes like the middle 2, I'm like, wait, what are they again?
Yeah.
Off air, I'll have to tell you mine.
I can't wait to hear it.
I can't wait to hear yours. Because
you should say it on the podcast. See how long it takes for someone to steal your identity.
It'll be a good test to see if people actually listen because they all suddenly have my identity stolen. I'm like, well, at least they were listening this is to like the podcast.
Our highest played episode.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
For our top 3/ Oscars conversation, in a way to like reel us in, we're each gonna pick 3 things we wanted to bring up to discuss about the Oscars. So Jordan, you go first.
Okay, my first item is I feel like I might be one of the only people that's happy for Robert Downey Jr. winning his first Oscar, but I do have to say, why do my favorite people keep getting in huge trouble for snubbing people on stage?
Did he get in trouble? I haven't even seen anything about this.
People were saying that he, in the video, he didn't like thank Ki Huy Quan for congratulating him. And then afterwards, there's a backstage photo where he's like hugging him, and people are saying that's PR. It's just like the Celine Dion, Taylor Swift photo. I really think that people are shell shocked when they get on stage, you know?
Yes.
And so, yes, he did kind of ignore him on stage. But, like, there's, like, a lot of pictures I saw after of, like, those two guys hugging and smiling and being really having fun backstage when he's holding his Oscar. But I was like, wow. Glad I don't have a camera on me all the time to see all the stupid mistakes.
Seriously,
I make every day.
I feel like those things are non-newsworthy. That's so dumb.
Yeah, it was sad.
And I feel like everyone, while they were being talked to in that presentation way, they were all like being like so nice and like would like mouth thank you and like say thank you to the presenter talking to them. So mm-hmm. Weird.
Yeah,
that's really weird. I was happy for him, mostly for you.
Thank you.
I know it was a team effort.
You
built him up.
The fans.
While we're on the presentation topic, I really liked the way they presented the acting awards. I thought that was great. I loved every second of it.
Iconic.
But here's one of my complaints. Why did they not let Jennifer Lawrence introduce Emma Stone? Like, that was the biggest missed opportunity. It made me so mad because, and maybe they're like trying to like make it fair or something, but like, then they gave Jennifer Lily Gladstone, and it felt like she was just like reading the teleprompter to like not mess up like such an iconic nomination that it didn't come forward as like that heartfelt at all.
Yeah.
And I just think anyone else would have done that. And Jennifer could have been hilarious and very heartfelt towards her friend, Emma. Mm-hmm.
My dad, he was the first one to say, like, why isn't Jennifer Lawrence doing it? Aren't they, like, best friends? And I was like, they are. So I know my dad watched Poor Things. He and my uncle watched
Poor
Things
last week. I was literally going to ask.
And they were traumatized by it. I don't know if he looked the same way. He's like, you watched it? And I was like, yeah, I've seen them all. And he was like, but he couldn't stop talking about Poor Things the whole time. He was talking about, he was like, Poor Things won this and that. He was like, well, it did look cool, like all this stuff. So now it's fun to be like, oh, your favorite movie is doing so well.
I did see a tweet that was like, oh no, Poor Things, like, winning these things on is going to make my parents want to watch this show.
Yes.
Luckily, I've already told my parents many times, don't watch it. Especially because I've gone on and on about how it's my favorite.
My number two thing was, one of my favorite awards of the night was Davine Joy Randolph. And I did, by the skin of my teeth, finish all the nominees. I watched Holdovers on Friday night before the Oscars. And then on Saturday, A Theater by Me, thank goodness, was showing Anatomy of a Fall. So I finished them all. And you know what? I did love the Holdovers. I feel like, I was like, everyone loves it. I hope, like, am I going to love it as much as everybody else likes this movie, you know? And it really got me. I was like, oh, this was good. And I was laughing. And I was like, how interesting that a Christmas movie is, like, getting all these nominations. That, like, never happens. But yeah, Davine Joy Randolph, who we have loved for a while on this podcast because we loved High Fidelity, and she's in that. But yeah, hers was one of my favorite. You know, it started the night off amazing with her.
It was a perfect start.
Her speech, and it was amazing to see her win, and that was just a total highlight.
I agree. The whole Holdovers plagiarism thing is very fascinating to me.
So weird.
And I was very interested to see if anything was going to be said or, like, anything during the show. I didn't see anything. I think it maybe would have been a little bit weird if they won for best original screenplay, but luckily they didn't.
I know. I was actually thinking that too. Like, the writer would get up and be like, okay, I did write this. Because have you seen people comparing and, like, there's, like, nothing to compare?
Oh, really?
Yeah, people have been posting the screenshots of that were, like, revealed in that article. And it's like, there's some similarities to the plot idea. But, like, people, they said they accused them of plagiarizing line by line. And they show the submitted screenplay that supposedly has these lines in it. And they're not identical to the movie at all.
They're not so, line, like, by line.
So that is kind of the weird part. Because I was like, wait, what? Like, so I'm very, the whole thing is really confusing to me.
Interesting.
But, yeah. They didn't really have that opportunity because I think Davine was the only one that won a Holdovers Oscar, I think. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
But yeah. Awkward.
John Mulaney, amazing.
That was probably the hardest I actually laughed in the whole thing was when he said that Madame Web line. That was, I had to explain it to my parents. It was just a great time.
Yeah, I really think him doing that bit kind of just, like, really took over anything Jimmy Kimmel did to me. But, agreed. Yeah, I want him to host the next one. But I think he said before that he wouldn't. But I think if enough people maybe asked him, he would. I don't know.
Well, he had a great reception to his presentation. He was hilarious. And speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, I am confused because did you see the promo, like the commercial they did for the Oscars that, like, it was like 6 minutes long. It was really funny. It was him and, like, Ryan Gosling was in it. Kate McKinnon and America Ferrera were all in it, and they were kind of riffing on Barbie stuff. And they had this whole set of, like, his journey to becoming an Oscar hosting the Oscars, and, like, weird Barbie was helping him. And they were teasing, like, Oh, well, these snubs. It was, like, really good. I was really impressed. And so I was like, wow, they should have done that commercial for his opening because it was so boring. It was just him making really, like, stale, lame jokes that we'd all heard before. And he always complains about how long the movies are. And it's like, yeah, I know, but okay. Like, it was just, like, so blah. I'll have to send you that video if you hadn't seen it, because I actually thought it was really cute and really good.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it. And I actually missed most of his opening monologue because of technical issues.
Oh, right.
But I did think the Trump thing was really funny, too. I think that kind of helped him out.
That was funny. You know, my dad was cracking up when he said, "Those are the only parts from Poor Things we could show on TV." Yeah. The one thing I will say, though, is he's very, like, confident and comfortable up there, and so that makes everyone kind of feel at ease, at least. Even if I thought his intro was boring, it was not like I feel like I'll have war flashbacks to the Golden Globes for the rest of my life watching an awards show. And he's like very confident and like just smooth up there, so that's something. But I thought that his intro was boring.
Well, and the timing of the show was like really well paced, so it was hard for me to even really find any issues with that, because I was like, it never felt like, oh, this is too long. And they wrapped up before and even had like, were under time, which I felt like was amazing.
Well, I mean, my number one, it has to be I'm Just Ken. Best part of the show.
And same.
Perfect. That worked out so perfectly. Because it was legitimately hilarious. Everyone was waiting for it. His castmates, and even Billie Eilish cracking up around him, and it was so funny and it was so good. My only wish is that I wish that his actual Kens from the movie all got way more screen time, because I had to look up that Kyushu Gatwa was actually there afterwards. I didn't, it was all moving so
he
fast.
He was just on the side, well, like for one
yeah,
second.
I was like,
yeah.
I had to, in pictures later, I was like, oh good, he was there. Like all the main Kens were there. But I wish that like they were highlighted a little more. But other than that, it was perfection.
Yeah, I would pay $50 to see that in person. And I yes. really think they should take it on tour.
Like Dancing with the Stars live, but just the Kens.
Yes.
That would be amazing.
I mean, they really could. Barbie could milk more money out of most of the world, I think.
I think so. I mean, so. It should be a stage musical someday. It probably will be.
Yeah, probably will be. Yeah, it was amazing, iconic. Like, not even any of the Grammys performances were as good as that was. So
it was just so, and it was just like somehow it was so perfect, because it was legitimately so funny. And like, yes, it was so over the top, but it was like not trying too hard. It was just like perfect.
It was still so aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot going on, but everything was so organized and everyone looked so good. Everything was perfect.
It was amazing. Did you see all the pictures comparing it to Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend? Genius. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was perfect. That leads me to, you know what? I'm going to say my crush of the week is Ryan Gosling. He just looked so good.
He was like the king, homecoming king of the Oscars this year.
Truly. And the year.
True. Yeah, literally. It's like, remember how McDreamy was sexiest man alive this year? Like, that is just the most ridiculous thing. Like, Ryan Gosling owned 2023. And now, still 2024. I feel like, literally, like, the goodwill that he's built up of himself this year is unbreakable. Like, he's so funny. Everyone loves him.
Knock on wood, but yes.
Yeah. Who knows what could happen now? He'd have to kill someone. And I know, I go on record, I don't even think, I know I'm crazy for this, I don't think that he has like the hottest face. I'm not like attracted to him, but like, he's the perfect man. He actually is.
I have a very strong callback memory to a time where we talked about Ryan Gosling years and years ago, and you told me that, and I was like shocked.
I don't know the science behind it. He's like not my type of face that I'm attracted to that much.
Yeah.
But like, you just cannot. I've always respected him, and I've always also known that he's fun and everyone loves him, you know? And still true, even more so to this day. I do think he's the perfect man.
Yeah. That's true. Is that your crush of the week, or did you want to have a different one?
No, my crush is the hot lawyer from Anatomy of a Fall. Because I just watched that movie, and I'd seen all the fan cams, and yes, I was like, wow, that's a hot person. Especially a very interesting... So here's the thing. I think that guy is hotter than Ryan Gosling. That might be crazy. I don't understand how my brain, my hormones work. It doesn't make sense, and I acknowledge that. But all the videos of him at the Oscars and being shy and like blushing, turning bright red every time someone talked about how everyone's obsessed with how hot he is and stuff. And he's like, that makes me blush. Like, he's so hot. And I was like, wow, he's just, wow. So
Jordan is blushing right now. I can see it.
I'm getting hot talking about it. Whoa, that sounded, I'm getting warm. I'm actively getting warm and flushed in my face. I can feel it too. So yeah, I would be lying if I said that he was not my Oscars crush.
Good choice. All right. Well, there's our Oscar recap, all the news, catching up. We appreciate you for listening. Bye.
Bye.